This message comes from the University of Kansas Cancer Center. How you receive cancer care is just as important as the care itself. Their experts know this and work to provide leading care with a compassionate human touch at every step. More at kucancercenter.org.
Just a heads up, y'all, this episode contains some salty language, which means it's finna be some cussing.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Code Switch, the show about race and identity from NPR. I'm B.A. Parker.
And I'm Gene Demby.
So Gene, I want to take you back to November 5th, 2024.
Do we have to go back?
AKA 1 week ago.
Oh boy.
AKA Election Day.
I remember.
I had already mailed in my absentee ballot to Maryland, so I decided to spend my morning with a bunch of teachers at a professional development day.
Oh, that sounds so fun. Yay.
No. Hear me out. It was great. Okay. It was a room full of teachers learning how to teach about government through the life of Shirley Chisholm. Now, for context, Shirley Chisholm was the first Black woman elected to Congress and the first Black woman to run for president on a major party ticket.
Right. Her campaign slogan was famously that she was unbought and unbossed.
My significance is not that I am the first Black woman elected to the United States Congress, but that I won public office without selling out to anyone.
Obviously, Shirley Chisholm did not become president. But on Election Day last week, it felt like the country might just elect its first Black woman president.
I'm facing some, flashbacks.
So there I was in a room full of teachers like Dr. Zynga Frazier.
The last time I did a discussion of Shirley Chisholm to teachers was in 2016. That election day had, in many ways, the gearings of being an historic election day.
She said she hoped it wasn't a bad omen.
Mm-hmm. But then this happened.
We overcame obstacles that nobody thought possible, and it is now clear that we've achieved the most incredible political thing. Look what happened. Is this crazy?
Donald Trump, as we all know by now, has been re-elected president. This was his third presidential campaign, so we all know his whole deal at this point. And big chunks of the country looked at him and said, yeah, more of that, please.
The picture of how people voted will become clearer in the weeks to come. But Trump did better with lots of groups than Republicans usually do.
Although, we should say that doing better is relative. Like, the only racial demographic that Trump won outright was, again, white folks.
But he's taking it as evidence that he has this broad coalition.
They came from all corners, union, non-union, African-American, Hispanic-American, Asian-American, Arab-American, Muslim-American. We had everybody, and it was beautiful. It was a historic realignment.
Everybody? I mean, okay, whatever. Parker, you and I, and the rest of the Code Switch team, we went out on Election Day to chop it up with folks, and we just asked people how they were feeling that day.
It's kind of a scary feeling to see how America is going to change for us.
I wanted to vote for Trump, yeah, but I voted for her.
But I cried this morning. I've been crying on and off. Like, I'm terrified.
I voted for Trump, so I'm like, you know, one way or another, there's a change coming.
So on this episode, a snapshot of Election Day 2024.
This message comes from NPR sponsor LegalZoom. LegalZoom has everything you need to launch, run, and protect your business all in one place. Take care of your business legal needs in just a few clicks. Save 10% with promo code CODE10 at LegalZoom.com. Offer expires December 31st, 2024. LegalZoom provides access to independent attorneys and self-service tools. LegalZoom is not a law firm and does not provide legal advice, except where authorized through its subsidiary law firm, LZ Legal Services, LLC.
This message comes from BetterHelp. It's important to take time to show gratitude towards others, but it's equally important to thank yourself. Life throws a lot of curveballs, and being grateful isn't always easy. Therapy can help remind you of all that you're worthy of and all that you do have. Let the gratitude flow with BetterHelp. Try at betterhelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month. This message comes from Midi Health. If you're a woman over 40 dealing with hot flashes, insomnia, weight gain, or brain fog, you don't have to accept it as just another part of aging. The clinicians at Midi Health understand what you're experiencing and know how to help. Midi Health provides specialized care for perimenopause and menopause covered by insurance. Book your visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
I left my apartment at 7 a.m. on election day to go sit in an auditorium with 67 teachers from all over New York City. We spent the morning drinking coffee, eating bagels, and discussing the legacy of Shirley Chisholm.
So, Parker, of all the places you could have been in New York, why a room full of history teachers?
I guess it kind of felt reverential. Like, a couple of floors above us was this big Shirley Chisholm exhibit where I got to use, like, an actual voting machine from 1972, you know, where, like, you pull a giant lever.
Yeah, and you get the whole ka-chunk sound. Oh, so satisfying. It's like the literal analog machinery of democracy. Oh.
Yes. Way more satisfying than filling out an absentee ballot and printing it out.
Exactly.
And I didn't mind if that feeling only lasted for the 7 hours I was in that museum. While we were there, we didn't yet know what was to come.
What kind of questions do you anticipate being asked by your students tomorrow or for the rest of the week?
I anticipate students asking, hopefully not asking what happened.
I continue my conversation with Dr. Zynga Frazier. She's director of the Shirley Chisholm Project. She teaches Africana studies. She teaches women and gender studies at Brooklyn College. And she curated the Chisholm exhibit.
I remember going on C-SPAN when the other person who will go nameless won.
So in 2016.
And I remember people just having such a visceral, like, I can't believe that this happened. How did we elect this person? And I said what I hope I don't have to say on Wednesday,
which is
who elected him.
I started talking to the other teachers about their experiences in the classroom the day after Trump won the first time. You were teaching in 2016.
Yes, I was.
How did that go? This is Shai. He teaches global history.
Oh, that was horrible.
How so?
The day after, I had kids crying.
Why were they crying?
Because of, and this is before a lot of the rhetoric of ICE, I'm going to deport people. This was before he even started mentioning all that. He always leaned toward those types of thoughts and themes. And my students at the time very much heard about it. And I remember one student, she was just like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And, you know, throughout the next 4 years of that presidency, her worries came to light.
Shai said the students remember that, and so does he. This time around, he says his biggest concern is the prospect of a Trump presidency limiting what he can and can't teach about history, even if he lives in a blue state.
If you mention anything that doesn't put America in a bright, shining light, is deemed unpatriotic. But that's real history. A Trump presidency will most likely change how I approach teaching because of the idea of limiting what can be taught. But it doesn't mean that you stop teaching about Selma. It doesn't mean you stop teaching about Shirley Chisholm. It doesn't mean you stop teaching about the things in history and in American history that are unpleasant. James Baldwin said it the best. The only way to change history is by facing it.
There was one teacher I was talking to named Maria, and she was trying to hype herself up because she was going to vote later in the day.
Praying for the best, preparing for the worst?
Basically.
If his name comes up, I just try to, like, frame it in terms of hope, you know, and also we can kind of make a way through. Like, even if our candidate doesn't win, there are ways of dealing with that disappointment and sort of, like, working through, like, the new normal, even as I'm saying that to myself. Because I'm
she is cringing the whole way she is saying this. I want this to be noted. Like, her face is purely scrunched up, trying to be hopeful.
I'm trying to be hopeful, but I hope I have a better face when I'm talking to my students. No, I do, because I'm gonna, you know, step into a different place when I'm teaching. So I'll be more aware of my facial expressions and make sure not to cringe at the possibility of a Trump presidency.
In our conversation, she was so focused on what she considered to be the trauma of election night 2016 that she had completely forgotten about 2020.
2020, there was dancing in the streets, literally. I remember because I was proctoring an SAT test, and like while I was there proctoring, I could hear cheering in the streets and horns blowing. It was jubilant. It was amazing. And I hope that we have a moment like that. Thank you for bringing that up. I feel better now. I'm smiling. No more cringing.
So, Parker, it sounds like all the teachers you spoke to were hoping that Harris would win. Am I reading that right?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I didn't speak to every one of the teachers.
Right, right.
But I found it interesting that among these people who all spend their lives steeped in American history, no one that I encountered wanted Donald Trump to win.
Okay, we're going to move from New York, go down I-95 to D.C., where it's no longer morning, but now early afternoon. And here in D.C., our producer, Jess Kung, was walking around trying to take the temperature, see what everybody was feeling. Jess, what's good?
Hey, y'all. Yeah, in D.C., the big story was security.
Yeah, just barricades going up everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah, fencing was coming up around the White House and the Capitol building and Howard University, where Harris was going to be headquartered for the night.
Mm-hmm.
Businesses, like, preemptively boarded up their windows. A CVS half a mile west of Howard was getting the treatment.
It's in preparation for the election and possibly what could happen after. Yeah, so we've been to a few different ones.
That's Robert Hill. He's a carpenter, and he told me he'd been boarding up CVSs since like 8 a.m. And he seemed talkative, so I asked him how he was feeling about the election.
Yeah, I like the election. Yeah, I voted. Yeah, I think it's a crazy time. But I definitely voted. I voted for Trump. So I'm like, you know, one way or another, there's a change coming. Because I don't like what's happened these last few years. I feel like with Trump, it's more economy, you know what I mean? Like keeping money in people's pockets. And I think with Kamala, it's more like a feeling where it's just like, oh yeah, you feel good. You got the money in your pocket, but hey, at least you kind of like feel good.
From there, I headed downtown and I circled the White House a few times. It was all boarded and gated up too, and nothing was really going on.
Yeah, it's not really a residential area. It's a ghost town after work hours.
And it's a school night.
Yeah.
I forgot, I guess. And, you know, the main motivation to be in that area is to be able to show the White House behind you. So, like, protests gather there, but also, like, TV news stand-ups and independent political streamers and just generally people who want attention. Yeah, for a while, the park behind the White House was dominated by this evangelist with a really impressive speaker system. The guitar you're hearing was provided by some folks with Harris signs. It's very classic, like, ooh, maybe this country is divided, actually. But it really ended up not seeming like a night for whatever the CVSs were bracing for.
That evening, around 5:30, I walked over to Howard University's campus, which is where Kamala Harris had planned her big election night watch party.
I really love, you know, the atmosphere of D.C. Man, it's going to be crazy, you know, like, hopefully it's a win.
I met this 21-year-old merch dude who had drove up from South Carolina to sell Kamala Harris t-shirts at $20 a pop.
$20 isn't a bad deal.
I wanted to vote for Trump, yeah, but I voted for her. He'd been president for 4 years already before, right?
Mm.
So what happened when he was president? Nothing crazy.
As I was walking to the security checkpoints, you know, to get on the yard, I ran into a very amped Howard University senior.
I'm still trying to wrap it in.
I'm first generation American, originally from Jamaica. So, like, knowing that, like, our possible first female black president is also from Jamaica. Makes me feel good. I like the whole accent comes out and everything. Like I'm just excited.
I got through the security and the DJ, you know, was hyping everybody up on the quad.
So my grandfather actually would gather everybody and take everybody to the vote. And he did the same thing today. Even though I'm not there, my mom called with the excitement. And so, what's it going to say, guys?
So we got interrupted by the music, but he kept telling me about his grandfather and his family.
All right, so you said that your grandfather gathers up your whole family and y'all go vote as a family.
Now, like, looking
every
back,
election day.
I see that my grandfather was instilling in us the necessities of voting, because like the first like 50 years of his life, he wasn't even eligible to vote because he's a black man in America. So for him, like, voting is like...
So yeah, the vibe at Howard was pretty upbeat, like lots of people with their frat and sorority paraphernalia on, you know what I mean? Lots of people sporting clothing with the names of different HBCUs.
And like the energy today is like an energy of peace, if I have to sum it up. Like not even knowing what the outcome is yet, like people are happy, like genuinely.
After the break, the election night vibes shifted a lot. That's coming up. Stay with us.
This message comes from Progressive Insurance. You call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. Tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options within your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This message comes from ShipStation, your e-commerce command center. Take control of your growing order volume with ShipStation's all-in-one shipping software that centralizes your fulfillment, automates repetitive tasks, and delivers the best carrier rates all in one place. Integrate effortlessly with over 180 e-commerce platforms and marketplaces. Save time and scale efficiently with features like inventory synchronization. For a free 60-day trial, go to ShipStation.com/NPR.
This message comes from Noom, using psychology and biology to build personal meal plans to fit your lifestyle, taking into account dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs with daily lessons that are personalized to you and your goals. Noom's flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection to help you build new habits for a healthier lifestyle. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com.
Parker.
Gene.
Code Switch.
So as election day turned into election night, our producer Xavier Lopez went out to talk to people in Queens.
Yeah, that's right. I headed over to Jackson Heights. It's an immigrant-heavy neighborhood near where I live in Queens. I saw a sign for an election night watch party being held outdoors at this place called Diversity Plaza?
I wonder what it was called before the wokes took over. What were people saying over at Equity Square?
There were a bunch of people gathered around drinking tea and watching a TV that was blasting like Bangladeshi news very, very loudly, by the way. We spoke to a few people, most of them from Bangladesh, and most of them Trump supporters, including Amin Khan.
No, I didn't vote because I'm a green card holder yet. But definitely if I got the chance, I'll definitely vote Donald Trump.
Amin has been in the States for the last 12 years. And even though he's an immigrant himself, he says that immigration policy is one of the main reasons he supports Trump.
Because I like the way he was thinking about the border. You know, those who are not the real immigrant is coming over here. He wants to take out them. But for me, I'm also immigrant, but I came in a legal way.
So you can kind of hear him saying, I'm doing this immigration thing the right way.
Yeah, but not all the people that we spoke to felt that way about immigration.
This is immigrant country.
This is me too, Ahmed. He's 56. We ran into him standing outside the fabric shop he owns. Mitu said that during the pandemic, his business suffered because no one was coming out to buy anything. These were bad days for his shop. But now, because of recent migration, he says people from all over the world frequent his shop.
So now, we are okay. We do business. But, you know, I'm happy with the people, whoever is in it. And marketplace always be a lot of people. Without people, we can do nothing.
Immigration is good for your business.
Yes, all over the world people, they come here, they like it, they buy it, because this is like, you can say all is middle class.
Elon Musk not coming here for buy this.
what did you say? You said Elon Musk is not coming here?
He's not going to come here.
Me Too didn't want to make known who he voted for, and that was partially because of how split his community is over some of these issues.
So what did you make of what Me Too was saying?
I think it highlights some of the rifts caused by this election. This division in the Bangladeshi community here, to me, feels like a microcosm of some of the divisions in the country. Hmm. Yeah, like I know that New York, and especially Queens, is not a great representation of the country racially. But ideologically, these are some of the same divisions you see all over the country. Even within families.
Like, I have family members, I have extended family members who are posting status about, let's go Trump, vote for Trump, not Kamala. And I'm disgusted of the blood I carry in my veins because I'm related to these people.
That's Preeta Rosario. We ran into her canvassing outside of school, a polling place. She talked to us a bit about this immigrant, anti-immigrant mentality in her own family.
So I'm very, sad because these people grew up here. These people are immigrants themselves. And to be voting for someone who will take one look at you and say that you're, you know, go clean my bathroom. Like, you have to be next level dumb or next level evil, you know? So I'm just very sad.
So it sounds like Preeta voted for Kamala Harris.
Yeah, she did. But that wasn't really an easy choice for her.
So I actually got a lot of backlash for voting for Harris because she's known as the genocide. She's backing up Israel too. So I got a lot of backlash.
The situation in Gaza was one of the main reasons that Preeta wasn't going to vote for Harris. She thought that she might vote for Jill Stein or maybe even just not vote. But then she changed her mind in the last few days.
Seeing amount of Trump supporters on my feed, amount of Trump signs around the city, I'm like, yo, I want Kamala to win as much popular votes as possible because I'm very terrified. I cried this morning. I'm just praying right now. I've been praying. I have no idea.
You've been praying a lot and it sounds like you've been worrying a lot. What are your big worries? It sounds like you've mentioned a couple of them, but what is your big worry about a Trump?
One of the biggest one is abortion. As we live in a country where so many women in Florida, Texas cannot get what they need. And women are actually dying. And the LGBTQ community, the trans community is under a lot of attack. And minorities. So he wants to lock up people, round them up, send them back. You know, there are so many undocumented people. They pay taxes. America gets billions of dollars from them in taxes. So I don't want these people to get out of the country, you know. So these are some of the things I'm very nervous about.
My final stop of the night was Terraza 7, a Latin jazz club that's been a neighborhood staple in Jackson Heights for more than 20 years. I spoke to Freddy Castiblanco. He owns the club. He's someone who has seen how this community has changed in the last two decades. I wanted to ask him what the more Hispanic side of Jackson Heights was thinking about the election. And even though a lot of people often think of New York City as this liberal bastion, he said that the Hispanic immigrant community here has been very loudly pro-Trump during this election cycle.
Los Latinos, incluso los que no pueden votar, hacen publicidad de manera activa, propaganda pues por Trump.
He said that even Latinos who can't vote have been supporting Trump. Just like with Amin, who you heard from earlier, in the Bangladeshi side of Jackson Heights.
Entonces ellos piensan que han sido desatendidos por mucho tiempo, que están en una línea de espera por mucho tiempo y que lo justo sería que sus necesidades fueran revisadas y que fueran atendidos. Y encontraron que los recién llegados pues tenían beneficios que ellos que no han tenido.
Freddie said that a lot of the immigrants that have been here for a long time feel overlooked, like they had to wait their turn. And the newer wave of immigrants have gotten more help and benefits in ways that they didn't receive when they first got to the States. I said goodbye to Freddie and then I headed home before it was fully clear how this all was going to play out.
As X was wrapping up in Queens, I was still hanging out at Kamala Harris's watch party in Washington, D.C.
As you can hear, the vibe is really jubilant. People are really excited. Yeah, I'm going to just stop rambling. But it's about 5 after 8. And so we got a long night ahead of us.
As polls started closing, they cut to CNN on the big screens in the middle of the yard.
And CNN can project that the District of Columbia with its three electoral votes can go to Kamala Harris. Here are the states that report.
There was a couple there with their young daughter, who was probably in her early teens, and they were kind of shaking their heads as CNN was giving the latest returns.
Best case scenario, like in terms of winning, oh, we want Kamala all the way, you know? I mean, democracy is our biggest thing. That's a major issue for us, because nothing else matters if you don't have democracy. Yeah.
I want Trump putting nobody else in the Supreme Court. That we don't want that.
Clarence Thomas is 76, right? And so,
we don't want a Clarence Thomas replacement. We want a Thurgood Marshall replacement.
How did voting for Obama in 2008 feel different than today? Does it feel similar?
I mean, there was a lot of focus on Obama, you know, and the fact that he was the first African American. And this time, because of the experience that we had back in, you know, during the Trump era, now it feels more like the focus is not on her race. The focus is not on her gender. It is just on saving this country.
As the night wore on, things started to feel a little more dour, a little more anxious. The election returns were rolling in, and they were not looking good for their fellow Howard Bison. And Parker, to give you a sense of how tense it was, so the DJ queued up Juvenile's Back That Ass Up, and nobody budged, really?
Gene, that's physically impossible.
Listen. Later in the night, when it was clear which way the winds were blowing, I ran into the woman who was the mother of a current Howard student who was outside, and she was still hopeful.
I am mixed, cautiously optimistic, but I am a faithful praying woman, so I'm hoping that Kamala will pull it through. So yeah, we'll see. You know, it's not over till it's over, right? Just like the Washington Commanders game where at the last end, he threw a Hail Mary. So I'm hoping for a Hail Mary right now.
So Gene, I want to take you back to New York for a minute. Around 9 p.m., I took the subway from East Harlem to Trump Tower on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. And it's an area crammed with luxury stores like Chanel and Bergdorf Goodman and Tiffany. Mm-hmm. It's like this strip of unattainable wealth.
Yep. Some of the richest people in the world live there. But what was the vibe over there? Was there lots of cheering?
It was pretty quiet for most of the night, except for, I guess, the same with in preparation with D.C. Like, there was a helicopter that was swarming the place. But honestly, there was more police than supporters until I saw a group chanting down the street.
I'm about to walk up to a crowd with a bunch of American flags and Israeli flags. Who was honking in solidarity?
And I realized that it was the workers inside of a sanitation truck who were honking. But the night got lively when a Cybertruck stopped in the middle of the street.
Oh, they're standing on top of one of those cyber cars with Trump on it. Oh.
There we go. The police are now in the Trump Cybertruck. And they've driven it off.
And there was this guy named John who was waiting on the Pennsylvania results.
I've been out here since this afternoon. I don't know what time, three. So there were a whole bunch of people here.
He was wearing a Gays for Trump t-shirt and a Joe and the Ho Gotta Go trucker hat.
Got it.
Gays for Trump.
He invited me to go sit in the restaurant on the ground floor of Trump Tower to watch the results.
Can't believe it's so dead here, but they're all inside in the restaurant.
I don't think I've ever been this far up on the east side before, so I didn't know there's a restaurant.
Yeah, go inside, want to walk inside and see them?
Hinted that I might be nervous about that, given that I am a black woman and I'm press.
No, I mean, you're fine.
But you did go in, right?
No. More people were forming outside.
Okay.
But when I talked to him later in the night, he had found his people.
So far, so good.
I know. It's going just as planned.
Exactly. Bitch is going down.
Yeah.
Bitch is going down.
Yeah.
That "you'll be fine" that he said didn't feel so comforting by then. I left Trump Tower and got home very late at night, then refused to look at my phone until the next morning.
Yeah, I was out on Howard's campus until a little before 1 a.m. When the head of Kamala Harris's campaign came out and told everybody who was still around on Howard's yard that she was not going to come out to address the crowd. And so, yeah, it wasn't quite funereal when I was leaving, but people were quietly leaving.
Just after 5:30 Eastern time, enough votes had been counted for the AP to call the presidential race for Donald J. Trump. By the time I woke up, it was front page news all over the world.
On November 6th, the day after Trump won, our senior producer, Christina Kala, went back to Howard's campus. That's where Vice President Kamala Harris was set to give her concession speech.
Guys, this line here is for back.
I got there a little bit before 4 p.m., and people were as steadily streaming in as you could through a giant security line. We walked up a hill. There were lots of people on the yard. The bleachers were mostly full, but it wasn't totally packed. A lot of people were holding American flags, proudly wearing Howard gear. There were giant screens, and everyone was trying to get a look. People were really just processing their emotions.
I went to bed kind of early last night. I was like, let me protect my peace, because no matter what, we have to keep on fighting and keep on going the next day. Like, let me go to bed on a high note. I stayed up last night. I was too anxious to go to sleep, to be honest. I think it was like 2 something in the morning, and I was like, Trump has 267. And I was like, maybe. And then I was like, no. It was hard to go to sleep last night, though. I kept waking up, and then in the morning, for sure, I knew it was done. I will accept it. I won't do anything crazy.
I don't know what to feel right now. I'm just trying to hear what she got to say today, honestly.
Everyone came to hear the VP's concession speech.
I want to stand by Vice President Harris. We stood by her when she's looking for our support. As she gives up this concession speech, which I know must be difficult for her, I think it was my responsibility to stand by her in this moment as well.
That's Christopher Prince. He's 69 years old.
Were you here last night?
Yes, I was.
And what was that like for you?
So I came, it was somber, but I wanted to still be on this campus. My parents went to Howard University. So I'm sorry, it's very personal for me. So I felt in the honor I had to be here.
At the end of the day, people came to Howard despite road closures and Capitol letter feelings, because they wanted to hear what she had to say to this particular crowd of people who believed in her, to the nation that woke up to President Donald Trump again.
Part of me would like for her to say, I'm going to contest every single vote, and if it's a Republican state, I want them to count these ballots twice. That's what part of me wants to say. The other part of me just wants her to be herself. say whatever's in her heart.
There's an adage an historian once called a law of history, true of every society across the ages. The adage is, only when it is dark enough can you see the stars. I know many people feel like we are entering a dark time. But for the benefit of us all, I hope that is not the case. But here's the thing, America, if it is, let us fill the sky with the light of a brilliant, brilliant billion of stars.
I think for me right now, the sky still feels smoggy.
We've offered up this snapshot of a day, and now we have to face what's next. For more than half the people who voted in this election, this is what they wanted. And we all have to live with that.
And that's our show. You can follow us on Instagram at NPR Code Switch. If email is more your thing, ours is codeswitch@npr.org. And subscribe to the podcast on the NPR app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also subscribe to the Code Switch newsletter by going to npr.org/codeswitchnewsletter.
And just a reminder that signing up for Code Switch Plus is a great way to support our show and to support public media. And you get to listen to every episode sponsor-free. So please go find out more at plus.npr.org/codeswitch.
This episode was produced by Xavier Lopez, Christina Kahla, and Jess Kung. It was edited by Courtney Stein and Leah Donella. Our engineers were Josephine Neonai and Gilly Moon.
And we'd be remiss if we did not shout out the rest of the Code Switch Massive. That's Dahlia Mortada, Jasmine Romero, and Verilyn Williams.
Special thanks to Jasmine Garz, Christopher Gorman, and the Museum of the City of New York, and Material Things Ceramic Studio.
As for me, I'm Gene Demby.
I'm B.A. Parker.
Be easy, y'all.
Hydrate.
Hello. Yeah.
I think I had the best job of the day. I went to my ceramic studio in Maryland.
Oh, yeah. Plush gig. Okay.
Mm-hmm. The studio opened special for the day so people could get their hands dirty and keep their minds off the news.
Are you pulling handles for mugs?
I am. I only just made my first traditional handle mug a week ago. So I'm scared of handles. Handles are scary.
It's kind of cheesy, but there's a lot of little life lessons in clay. Stay with me here. There's a lot of trial and error. Things don't always turn out how you expect them to.
The thing is, you kind of have to like tell yourself when you're trying something new that it's not going to work out, and if it does, it's just a happy surprise.
I like that you're tackling it today of all days.
It was just where I was in the process. Lucky,
lucky day.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Shopify, the global commerce platform that helps you sell and show up exactly the way you want to. Customize your online store to your style. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/NPR. Support for NPR and the following message come from GiveWell. Over 100,000 donors have used GiveWell to donate more than $1 billion. Find out more or make a donation at givewell.org. Select how you heard about GiveWell by choosing podcast and enter NPR at checkout. This message comes from NPR sponsor Total Wine & More. With so many bottles to choose from, it's easy to find your favorite, all at the lowest prices. Find what you love and love what you find. Visit TotalWine.com. Spirits not available in Virginia or North Carolina. Drink responsibly. Be 21.